In Assemblies of God missions, two things have always been really important as we discerned what God's will was for us. One was the calling of the Holy Spirit, and one was what the biblical text says about missions. 100 years ago, when Assemblies of God missions first began, the men and women that decided to band together to evangelize the world, they didn't sit down to send Christians across land and sea to minister to other Christians. Deep in their heart was this desire to plant the church where the church doesn't exist. You see, we believe that missions is based in a chronological biblical theology, in God's mission, in what's called the Missio Dei in Latin, that God is active in the earth to redeem for himself a people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, that he might be glorified amongst them. And so when we discern what God wants us to do in mission, it's critical that we listen to the Holy Spirit, that we are guided by the framework of Scripture, and then, as William Carey said, we pray with that open Bible and an open map. So the issue for us in this century is not really as much where, as aligning ourselves to what God is doing. There are peoples that need to hear the gospel all over the world, in Europe, in America, and other of the continents. And so we need to be able to discern how what we do and where we're doing it aligns with God's great purpose to glorify himself by redeeming people out of every tribe, tongue, and nation. I want to introduce you today to this diagram. We call it the apostolic function sphere. And the word apostolic, I'm not using it in the classic sense of being sent. I'm using it in the sense of how do we accomplish God's purpose of a people from every tribe and tongue and nation glorifying him. And how do we do that irrespective of our geography? If we're in the United States or whether we're in Saudi Arabia, how do we align ourselves with the purposes of God? Note with me that the sphere is integral. It's not a segmented sphere. You can't divide it up into subsections. It has different composite parts, and I want to work with you through these parts of the sphere so you can understand what we're talking about. Notice also that the target says CP and UPGs, church planting amongst unreached people groups. We believe that the trajectory of God is that we should make disciples amongst every nation, every tribe, every tongue. And disciples can't be made in isolation. They need to come into communities. That's why we focus on church planting. And we believe that we should put our primary attention where the church doesn't exist. So that as we look at the world and we're deciding where we're going to do church planting, we give priority to unreached people groups, those that don't have the capacity to reach themselves. And most modern definitions align themselves to be less than 2% evangelical and 5% nominal in those categories. But that's just starting points. It's not a definitive answer. Really, when we're talking about unreached people groups, we're talking about ethno-linguistic clusters of people that don't have the capacity yet to be indigenous and need some type of catalytic agent to work with them to get them to that point. So the goal, the trajectory, the direction of the sphere is to plant the church amongst unreached people groups. We base this on a biblical theology of mission. All the way back in Genesis, you have the Table of Nations, where God creates the different languages of earth. Immediately after that, in Genesis chapter 12, he unveils his plan to bless all nations through the seed of Abraham, which Galatians 3 tells us is the Lord Jesus Christ. You look in the Psalms, ask of me and I'll give the nations. You can hardly read a psalm without it referring to the nations. Even the prophetic books, you get into the Gospels and we have Matthew 24 verse 14. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached amongst every nation as a witness and then the end shall come. We have the Great Commission in Matthew 28 that we must go into all the world and make disciples amongst every nation. Mark talks about this as well. And we fast forward into Romans. Three times it talks about the obedience of the faith from all nations. The epistles are missionary letters. Revelation 5:9, the classic text. Around the throne, the end game, the goal, every tribe, every tongue, every people, and every nation. The four tabs of the book of life. And so we can condense that biblical theology down into these key principles. We need to make disciples and plant churches. We need to do that amongst every nation, amongst the least reach. And we understand that we cannot do that in isolation. We cannot do that alone. We're going to have to do that in partnership with others. So, let's look at the Spear together and see how can our individual calling, how can the legitimate things that God has birthed into our hearts and spirits to accomplish for Him in the earth, how can that merge into the collective calling of our church and our mission to plant churches amongst unreached people groups through teams in multinational collaboration? How does this all work together? Really, if we start in Acts 13, we stumble upon what Ralph Winter called the revolutionary concept of the missionary society. See, the gospel didn't automatically spread to other people groups. They had to intentionally send Paul and Barnabas to Cyprus and then on to Turkey, Asia Minor, from there. And can you imagine what that committee deliberated about as they were discussing? I don't think they were saying to Paul and Barnabas, go find some Christians, hang out with those Christians, do Christian things. No, they were sending them to where there were no Christians, where there was no church, in order to plant the church, because they believed, as we do, that local believers in indigenous churches can best represent the kingdom of God in all stratas of society. So our primary objective is to plant the church amongst these peoples and then move on. And that's what Paul and Barnabas did. The local church that speaks local language and has local connections should stand up for righteousness in society. It should act justly. It should take care of the poor. It should care for the infirm. It should reach out to widows. We believe in that strongly. It's a core component of our Assemblies of God missiology, but we understand it's best done through local indigenous churches. So the missionary task then is to plant the churches that can fully represent all of God's kingdom at all levels of society. And so we see there's a difference then between the role of the church and the role of the mission. The role of the church, local church, indigenous church, is multifaceted. It must do everything, attack evil wherever it finds it. But the role of the mission is singular. It should do one thing. It should go where there is no church and plant the church there and then move on to plant churches in other similar locales, places where the gospel has not gone. So as we look at that, I want to unpack this spear and how it is moving together in that function. Let's begin by looking at apostolic leader. An apostolic leader is someone like John Knox, who said, "Give me Scotland or I die." It's like the Apostle Paul. It's the one who has the vision and the gifts to go where there is a hard rock and to bang his head against that rock until it opens for the Savior. This is what Francis Xavier said about China. Oh, rock, rock, when will you open to the Savior? Somebody that can pioneer in Saudi Arabia or in Somaliland or in Libya or in some difficult place in North Korea or into the Amazon basin and go to an unreached people group there and start something. So we need that apostolic leader who has that vision and the gifting to break new ground. Now, that apostolic leader cannot work in isolation. He tends to work with what we call an apostolic band. An apostolic band is simply a church planting team. Back to Paul. He had Barnabas, who was the son of encouragement. He had Silas, Acts 15, who was a prophet. Can you imagine if all of Paul's team had his gifts? Historians tell us that Paul traveled at sometimes with up to 30 people and sometimes less. What if there was 12 Pauls on one team? Let's go to Corinth. No, let's go to Ephesus. No, let's go back to Jerusalem. No, let's press on into Macedonia. Let's preach, let's pray. No, you would have fireworks. You couldn't have 12 apostles in one team. So you had the son of encouragement. You had the prophet. You had Timothy, who was a pastor in Ephesus ultimately. And all these guys traveled with Paul. In our missionary teams, in our church planting teams, it's very similar. We need those with the gift of administration. We need those with the gift of helps. We need those who can evangelize. We need those who can disciple. We need those who are good at mentoring. All kinds of complementary gifts come together. We need people who are artistic. We need people who are scholarly. We need all ages. We need all nations. We need all types of agencies coming together. When we look at the apostolic band, we recognize that there's room for everybody. And whatever is your gift, it can be applied in team to best represent the Lord in the culture that we are serving with. Because none of us have all the gifts, and none of us have all wisdom, and none of us have all capacity. And honestly, we're transient. Sometimes we have to come back for home assignments. Sometimes we travel. And to approach ministry through a team base means there's always someone present and the gifts are balanced amongst us. You see, if we would continue down the band, something called apostolic partnership. Let me illustrate this by my buddy. He works in Kenya. His name is Jeff Nelson. Jeff has a burning passion for unreached people groups. That is his desire. That's what's in his heart. But his obedience and his assignment is to work at a Bible school in Nairobi and to train the students in that Bible school to walk after God's passions in the Missio Dei, to reach unreached people groups, to spread the kingdom where the kingdom hasn't gone, to plant the church where the church doesn't exist. So Jeff is working in a country that statistically is 83% Christian, has thousands of Pentecostal churches, tens of thousands of evangelical churches, but his obedience brings him to this place where he is helping a national church develop a missions vision. And you take missions away from Jeff Nelson, he'll be really, really angry with you because he understands that he's part of the spear. His fingerprints are on the spear. He is functioning in apostolic partnership. Now, it may be self-evident, but let me point it out anyway. The strength of the spear doesn't come from the spearhead. The strength of the spear comes from the shaft. And if you would break off that spearhead and try and attack an elephant or whatever was the object of your hunt, it would be useless. A little 6-inch piece of steel, maybe 6 ounces, it can't penetrate the hide of an elephant. But when you have the strength of the shaft indivisibly connected to it, then you have strength. Now, the next one is what we call apostolic administrator. We used to call them apostolic bureaucrats, but that name isn't real pleasant. Apostolic administrator makes a little more sense. These are our area directors and our regional directors. They have to travel around. They have to go to meetings in the states. They have to deal with budgets. They have to deal with policy. They sit with a lot of meetings, have to make sure that we can run here on the ground. And you know what? Their heart is still for unreached people groups. Their heart's still to plant the church where the church doesn't exist. But if they didn't do what they have to do, we on the ground couldn't do what we have to do. They are part of the spear. Their fingerprints are all over that spear. Now, within our system of Assemblies of God World Missions, we consider everyone from apostolic administrator, apostolic partnership, apostolic band, and apostolic leader to be part of our missionary family. They all raise support. They all serve. Some of them are working with unreached people groups. Some of them are working with national churches. Some of them are working administration, but they have one heart, they have one goal, they have one passion, and that is to see the church planted where it doesn't exist, to plant that church amongst unreached people groups, because God loves all the nations. He wants to redeem all peoples to His great name, and He's going to do it for His own glory. Now, the most important potentially part of the sphere is what we call apostolic passion. Let me illustrate it this way. I have a friend named Bob Stock. He's a Harvard graduate, and he has worked in corporate America all of his life. He's the missions chairman at his church in North Carolina. Bob lives and dies for unreached people groups. You take that away from him, he would shrivel up and blow away. He's never lived overseas. He will never live overseas. But all of his energy and his ideas and his strength goes into praying for unreached people groups, supporting missionaries, and developing the missions program in his church so that his church will retain the missionary heart of God to plant churches amongst unreached people groups. Now, Bob is a classic example of how all of us can interact. We all should pray, and we all should give, and we all should mobilize others as advocates for the Lord's work in the world. Another example of apostolic passion would be the little grandma in a nursing home and maybe in a wheelchair, and she's got her worn prayer cards and she's praying 5 minutes a day for missionaries around the world. Or maybe it's the young man and he doesn't have a university degree and he's flipping burgers at McDonald's, but out of his salary, faithfully, he gives $10 a month to the missionary program at his church. Why? So that the church can be planted amongst unreached people groups. You see, Bob's fingerprints are on the spear. That grandma's fingerprints are on the spear. That young man's fingerprints are on the spear. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter what your role is, because honestly, roles can change. What matters is that your fingerprints are on the spear, and that you can draw a direct line from what you do to God's glory being manifest amongst all peoples by his church being planted where the church doesn't exist. You see, no one category is better than the others. They are interdependent. You take one of these away and the whole spear loses its integrity. It falls apart. It's not about comparison. It's not about insecurity. It's not about being jealous. It's being obedient that no matter where we are, we can show a direct line from what we do to what God is doing amongst unreached peoples. And so when we look at collective call, we're simply saying this. The collective call on Assemblies of God World Missions is to join God in his passion that he be glorified by every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. And how we get there is by planting churches amongst unreached people groups. And we're going to have to get there together. We're going to have to all be involved. And so every single one of us, if we're a missionary in one of these functions, we have to be able to show that our fingerprints are on the spear. Or if we're based in the United States or our home country, we need to show that there's a direct line between how we live our lives and the glory of God amongst all nations. And in this way, there's inclusion. Because no matter who you are, or how old you are, or your gender, or your race, or your capacity, you can show that your fingerprints are on the spear, and that your individual calling aligns with this collective calling of God being glorified amongst the least reached. So, here's a question. Where are your fingerprints on the spear?